The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program is A.J. Taylor of KIOW Radio and Mike Hohenbrink of the Kalmar Courier. A.J., you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
Good to talk with you again, Senator. There is a act that you are introducing, actually reintroducing, that has to do with the death tax, and this is something that affects, obviously, Iowa farmers because their family farms are getting hit pretty hard by this thing. What's the crux of this thing? What are we trying to accomplish here?
Well, it may be pie in the sky, but I've long felt that the estate tax, like a lot of taxes, you should tax people once and then not tax again. And in the case of the estate tax, the way it's written, you're taxing a lot of inflation. Like the real value of farms haven't gone up 100% recently, but they've gone up anyway. And it passed on to the young family farmer for the next generation, and you have to pay the estate tax and split the farm up. You don't have an economic unit, so it makes it very, very difficult to pass on the family farm from one generation to the other. So this does away with the estate tax. We have an exemption, but that exemption doesn't take into when it was set up a few years ago, doesn't take into consideration the inflation you have. And when you tax inflation, you're taxing phantom income, and it isn't right to tax money that isn't real.
Senator, eyes are on the Supreme Court right now. The announcement made by the president about a nomination coming pretty soon for the court, especially with the March for Life making the news. What kind of a spotlight is going to be on a potential nominee by the president, and what kind of a timeline might we be looking at?
No. Well, of course, the attention's been on the Supreme Court ever since I decided not to hold up a hearing because Democrats had that rule when we had a Republican president. You can't have one rule for Republican presidents, another one for Democrat presidents. So we kept the seat vacant with the idea that the people would have a voice in the election. They had a voice, and they elected Trump. They knew what kind of person Trump was going to put on the Supreme Court, because he laid out 21 different people he'd pick from. I could take any one of those 21 and be satisfied with them, because I think they're what you call strict constructionists. They believe that the court ought to interpret law instead of making law, because making law is the job of the legislative branch. And whoever he names, I think I will be satisfied with their approach to being a justice. They won't be exactly like the guy that died, but they'll be pretty close, so that makes it very favorable to me. So let's say next week, it seems like it's going to be announced. All of the names that have been suggested are circuit court judges, so they've written a lot of opinions. There'll probably be 35, 40 days of time for the justice to call on individual senators. That is usually the tradition. And then the same 35 days, senators will have a chance to go over the opinions. And then we'll have a day or two of hearings on the justice, have probably a day or two of hearings for people that are for and against him. And then we'll vote on him after that. And I presume that it'll be around April the 1st before somebody's sworn into the Supreme Court.
We're talking about Obamacare here, and one of the things I'm curious about is, do you want to see the entire act taken care of, or are there sections or parts that you are really concerned about that need to be repealed in your eyes?
Yeah. I'm for keeping the part about no pre-existing conditions and children being on the parents' insurance for age 26 and no lifetime cap. But I want to repeal the employer mandate, the individual mandate. I want to make sure that we then in turn put in place selling insurance across state lines, medical malpractice tort reform. I want to make sure that we have greater emphasis on self-health savings accounts. But let me sum this up this way. We want to get the government out of between you and your doctor. We want health care accessible and affordable to all. And we want to make sure that we maintain the respect that we have had for 150 years for the doctor-patient relationship.
Senator, with regard to a couple of executive orders announced recently by the president dealing with immigration issues, do you think that, is it likely in your opinion that Congress will be voting on something in the near future with regard to it, or are we going to see just executive actions?
No, I think we'll have to appropriate some money for the fence that he says that Mexico's going to reimburse us. I don't know if that's possible or not. He says it's possible. I haven't seen how that's going to be done, but there needs to be some more wall build. But wall isn't going to solve all the problems. You got to let the Border Patrol do their job. You got to make sure that people that have come here under visa and overstayed their visas, and that's about the 40% of the people that are here illegally, you need the exit entry system for to make sure that they don't overstay their visas. And then you also got to have interior enforcement and get particularly those that have criminal records, get them out of the country.
We have a number of treaties that have been discontinued by President Trump. And some of these might be of a concern, like the Trans-Pacific Partnership, among others. What do you think now needs to be done? Are we going to try to approach this on an individual basis with each country? And does that seem to be a lot for Congress to have to approve on all these treaties?
It's going to take a lot of work, but we've done that before. We probably have approved more bilateral agreements than we have multilateral agreements. I don't want to go naming the individual ones we have, but originally Canada, before there was an NAFTA, Canada was a bilateral agreement. Singapore, Israel, just to name three. And it can be done. I think negotiation is a little more difficult, but one way or the other, it's got to be done, because we've got to move ahead for free trade. Because Iowa's an exporting state, and that's why I'm a free trader. I believe the president, if he can do a better job of negotiating than past presidents have, who would argue with that? I'm not going to argue with it, but I'm not sure exactly what you can do better than we have done, but I'm going to be open for anything that can be better. In the case of TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, in that particular case, I think it's a case of if he can't negotiate with the 12 countries for a better agreement, then we'll need a bilateral agreement with Japan, because that's the country of all the 12 countries that's most important for us to have lower trade barriers.
Senator, with regard to Keystone and Dakota Access, both pipelines look to be moving forward. What repercussions, what long-term do you see happening with this? Do you think these are going to move more quickly now that the everything has settled in?
I believe in the case of the XL pipeline, yes, if, and this is a big if the Canadian company makes their application for the pipeline, because that's how the federal government gets involved in that one, because it crosses a national boundary. And I think they're going to, and then I think that'll move pretty quickly. The Dakota pipeline is done already, except for a little bit in North Dakota. I think since the court said that the law had been agreed to, and only Obama intervening in the place of the court, that would be completed by now. But he intervened. The president is retracting the Obama intervention, and I think it'll be built very quickly.
Thank you, AJ and Mike, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.